Good morning, everyone. It's Q&A day, and I'm going to talk a little bit about the discovery worksheet today and make a few announcements as we all come in. Let me get my windows all set up so I can see everybody, see all the things. Hope y'all are having a wonderful Wednesday. Let me get the Q&A box up and tell you a little bit about how everything's going to work. Then we'll be off to the races. I'm promoting you now, Lisa. All right, everyone. So this is a Q&A call, which means that I'm going to teach a little bit, then answer some questions. I would love to get your best questions on the discovery worksheet, because that's what we're going to talk about today. Because you all are getting a brand new discovery worksheet. This is part of our exciting updates that we are releasing everything. I believe it's on this Saturday. So let me just tell you kind of the exciting things that are happening. Number one, this weekend is the Weight Loss Jumpstart workshop. So as you know, as part of your membership, all day long workshops are always included in your membership. So we have our fall one coming up, which is the Weight Loss Jumpstart. It's going to be really good. I am super proud of the material that we're teaching because I'm really going to help all of you see the impacts of the diet industry on you so that you can really start normalizing a lot of the things that are happening. So if you can't attend live, it will not be a problem at all, because then you can just watch the replays and you can watch them at 2x speed, 1.5 speed. I will tell you something that I was talking to my team about yesterday, because one of the things that we want all of you to do is please get your friends to sign up. If they've ever been No BS Curious, we want them to come to the workshop because it gives them a really good taste of what an awesome community we have, how we're so different in the way that we teach how to lose weight, because we mix the brain power plus habit power technique and a beautiful blend of like intuitive eating, like what I would just call like how we were always designed to eat while learning how to deal with our emotions. Because we were never designed to cover emotions up with food. So it's a really good opportunity for them. So share on your social, send your friends the links, all the things. It's only $19 for them. It's a great opportunity for them to see what No BS is about. But I was actually talking about, do I come to live events? And I attend a lot of online things. So I buy courses, I sign up for online classes. If y'all don't know, I love learning. I love learning all the things. I am getting ready to sign up for a statistics class with my son. He's all interested in statistics. So am I. We're both like looking at all kinds of different like classes that he and I both love together. I rarely attend anything live. I don't even like going live because when I am learning, I like to be able to listen a little faster. And then I like to be able to pause and rewind and listen to significant teachings and where my brain is just like, what did they just say? Oh, that's interesting. Ooh, I need to know that. I like to be able to pause and re-listen to it 3 or 4 times in that moment. It helps me. As a learner, my learning is always like, I just know my learning style. It tends to do better if I can hear things over and over again. I'm not a one-shot wonder learner. I've always had to take all of my courses. Like for a lot of you, you come into No BS and you have this, asinine idea. Maybe it comes from how we're taught in school. You know, like you study a chapter and then it's like, you just like, all right, everybody's supposed to know it by the end of, you know, this week or whatever. For me, I'm not that learner. And a lot of you come into No BS and you listen to the course and you wonder why, like, well, I listened to module 3 and shouldn't my overeating that I've been doing for 50 years be cured by now? I mean, you know, I did watch the videos. It's like, I get it. But for me, like, that is not how I learn. I listen to things. I have to think about it. I have to go try it. I have to mess up some. I have to go back to my lessons. I listen again to see that now that I've tried it out and now that I know kind of what my patterns are, what did I miss the first time listening? Is there anything that was said that kind of went over my head because I don't have experience in it yet? But if I listen again, now that I've got some experience, I'm like, oh, I'm reading a book right now. It's called Run Like Clockwork. It's for businesses. I read it 3 years ago when I was a baby business. Like I had, I think four people that helped me out. They weren't even all full time. It was just like me and Betsy and Mary Jo, and Kathy sitting around, you know, trying to figure out how to help women lose weight. And this was before Chris even worked with me. So I read the book then. It helped me a lot. I'm rereading it now. And the depth of understanding I have now after 3 years of being in business is off the charts crazy. And so here's what I want to say to all of you. We are getting ready to re-release on Saturday the brand new planner that has been streamlined and made simpler. It is including all of the newer things that we've been teaching. We're re-releasing modules 1 and 2 of No BS that is more streamlined, where I've gotten better at teaching. I know more about y'all's roadblocks. I know more about what goes on for you. So I've re-recorded all of those lessons to make them simpler and easier to consume. What I want to invite all of you to do is listen to things more than once. Listen. Try things. Come back to it in a month or two. Listen again. See what makes more sense. See, your brain will hear things that the first time it heard it, the second time it hears new things, so it doesn't need to hear those first things again. So it's just really important that when you're here, there's so many of you are carrying around so much shame that you listen to the lessons and you listen to the calls and it's not clicking. And I think sometimes what we have to do is we have to go back and we need to re-listen again and again and again. If I can do that, and I can tell you as a testament, this is how I operate best. This is not because Corinne's dumb. It's not because I'm a slow learner. It's because my brain, I have figured out this is where I get my success. So please don't feel like something's wrong with you if you have to re-listen to stuff. It's not supposed to make sense the first time. It's supposed to give you some ahas. It's supposed to give you insights on a few things that you can go try. And then you come back to the material with the results of your efforts. When I tried these things, here are the things that worked. Here are the things that did not work for me yet. And here I go. I'm going to listen one more time to shore up a few things. And I just have no shame in doing it as many times as it takes. Okay. So don't forget, the new planner is coming out this weekend. You'll no longer be ordering the planner online. We are now just going to give it to you online. So you'll get the PDF. It's going to be treated just like all the other workbooks, every other piece of material that you ever get inside of No BS. The planner is going to be the same. You can download it to your computer. You can print it at home. We're going to give you FedEx instructions. We looked around online to find what are the best print deals online? Where can you get it cheaper than ordering it from me? And just made it as simple as possible. And then for anybody who wants to take it and put it on their iPad, because you already know how to do that stuff, of course, it'll be there for you too. So the new planner is just like every other piece of material now inside of No BS. The only difference is Corinne's not going to pay some dude in Chicago to sit on it and wait for somebody to order it. I know some of you loved the option of being able to order it from us. I get it. But I can't do it cheaper for everybody anymore. I used to be able to, and that was the reason why we did it, is I didn't want my people paying extra money for something. I can't get a better deal for you anymore. That's now what it costs them to sit there and store it and do all of those things outweighs what you can get on demand printing and shipping anywhere in the world, any rural county, anywhere you want. We are going to give you the exact instructions you need because I just want it to be simple, easy, and seamless for you. I think you're going to love the new planner though. I finally got to see the final version. And I was like, oh my God, this makes me want to lose 10 pounds. Just like, I just want to like do the new planner. It's so good. I'm so excited about it. All right. So on Saturday, new modules 1 and 2 of No BS will drop for you along with the new planner and the new discovery worksheet. It'll be all there for you. And throughout the month of October, we are all going to do No BS one more time. Y'all can't do it enough. So we're going to do it all together one more time. And the calls will be specifically aligned. Sorry, I just drank my breakfast or drank some cashew milk and had my Kodiak waffles. So I'm like burping a little bit. So I'm very excited to take all of you through the material as we gear up for the holidays. All right. Let's see if there's anything else that we need to do. So today we're going to wrap up urges, though, because we have a brand new discovery worksheet. I personally redesigned the discovery worksheet. Handling the holidays will be in November. In October, we are doing No BS. We will be redoing No BS. All right. That's all right, Andrea. I'm about a month ahead sometimes myself or a month behind. All right. So the discovery worksheet, I have been looking at it for a long time and I have been using it. And I started realizing there were just like, there had to be a way to make it a lot easier for y'all to get your insights and stuff. So I worked on redesigning it and I used it myself for a little while. As I always, I try to think about like, where can we make uncovering thoughts, uncovering patterns, and uncovering things easier for y'all to figure out, to overcome, and all the things. So the discovery worksheet is now simplified to where it's only focused on the four N's. So we have been studying the four N's for a long time. It is now officially going into module 2 of No BS. It is our new thought work like steps, and they're so simple. And I will tell you the magic of the four N's is step 2, normalizing. In traditional thought work, the way that I was trained, the way that many of the coaches were trained, normalizing how we think was a missing piece. When you start looking at your thoughts, like why you overeat, what excuses you use, what compelled you to do it, one of the things that I just saw people do all the time is immediately, the moment they shine the light on their thinking, they also have judgment over their thinking. They start saying things like, I'm the only one that thinks this way. This is crazy for me to think things like this. I'll never lose weight if I keep thinking like this. I shouldn't think this way. This is a bad thought. We have a lot of thoughts about our thoughts. And when you have bad thoughts about your thoughts, you will want to stop looking at them. You will not want to hear them anymore. And if you can't hear your excuses, if you can't hear your internal conversations and your chatter, then you have also taken away everything you need in order to solve what is really going on in your life. So I added the normalized step as a really key piece to doing this because so often our thinking, we don't even realize is a protective mechanism, is like even what we would call, quote, a bad thought is useful. We need it. It's an alarm system. I've been thinking a lot about this. There's like these three things that happen when it comes to thinking and normalizing. You either are using thoughts that someone gave you at some point. So for example, I use the story of when I was a kid. This one time my mom told me, she's like, we just all have big legs. You're always going to have big legs. We're all going to have big legs. Nothing we can do about it. The rest of my life, I was obsessed about my legs. I like had heard that. I always thought my legs were too big. Like my brain assumed that thought. So sometimes people in authority, well-meaning, they say things and our brains latch onto it. And they're like, okay, especially if you're a child, children are designed in their brain to hear what authorities say and to think, okay, I don't have reasoning skills yet. These people are the authority figures. What they tell me just must be true. They don't have that whole idea of like, I don't know if I want to adopt your thought. Let me do some writing and journaling on this. No, kids just absorb. So a lot of you have things you believe about yourself, your eating habits, you're like cleaning your plate or whether you eat enough or you eat too fast or whatever it is that somebody gave you. Second, a lot of it is societal programming. There are lots of things that we all believe that society has conditioned us to think that we don't even know that we're believing. So a really good example is women are often, when it comes to feelings, we are made to feel as if our feelings are inappropriate, too much. They need to be toned down. They make other people uncomfortable. And here's how society says it. Girl, are you on your period? Seem a little emotional today. As if you must be losing your mind or something must be wrong in order for you to feel a certain way today. It couldn't just be because you're having a normal experience of the world. It must be, well, you're a woman, so you must be being hormonal. You know, because us men don't sit around and do that. There's a lot that comes like with our bodies that we don't even know that we're thinking and believing because that's just what society says. We don't question this stuff. And then the last part of our thinking that makes it normal is very often we have thoughts that are just automatic that pop into our head because our brains are afraid of something. So I see this a lot in like talking about discovery worksheets. I see this with hunger very often. I will see someone tell me, well, if I wait until I'm hungry, I'll just overeat. And they think that's just the truth. And it's just an automatic thought. And when we look at it, why would that thought be normal? Instead of being like, that's just the truth, we want to normalize it as actually just a sentence. It's normal to think that if in the past you've done diets that required you to go beyond what we call normal hunger. So for all of you on your discovery worksheets, if you are finding very often that you are writing down, I ate when I wasn't hungry, because I'm afraid if I get too hungry, I'll just overeat. What could be happening in the normalizing is I have done diets in the past where extreme hunger was required. I can see why my brain would want to think that waiting for doable hunger is as threatening as waiting for starvation hunger. It's lumping everything together. It's having a diet trauma response. This is why this thought keeps popping up. And if you know that, you switch from being afraid of hunger to being in having insight into a sentence. So can you already feel the shift if that's you? Like, oh, maybe I just have some diet programming. So someone said, I avoid discovery worksheets. I tell myself I won't, but I keep avoiding. This is another piece, all right? So when you are avoiding discovery worksheets, it is for all of you, I want you to think about diet trauma. Most people avoid discovery worksheets because they associate discovery worksheets with shame. If when you do a discovery worksheet, you're like, I'm doing a discovery worksheet because I keep fucking up my eating. or discovery worksheets are just going to show me all the ways I'm fucking up. Or discovery worksheets, they're hard for me because when I do them, I feel embarrassment and shame. I feel hopelessness. It's not the discovery worksheet. The discovery worksheet is just the fact. It's good for you to like think about, what are my thoughts around the discovery worksheet? It does not need to be shameful. They're just highlighting all of the sentences that I keep using that don't allow me patience and understanding, the ability to slow myself down, to do pause permission. The more I do a discovery worksheet, the more I can see the sentences I need to pay attention to. So that as I go further in my weight loss journey, I can unearth more and more sentences that right now my brain offers up automatically. I don't always hear them in the moment, and I just react by eating. I'm just kind of going by the command. So for a lot of you, I want you to think about discovery worksheets. What is your relationship with them? Seriously. If you're listening to this right now and you have paper, write down your top three thoughts you have about a discovery worksheet and just be honest with yourself. And then look at them and think, huh, is that really even true? Because I don't think of discovery worksheets as highlighting my fuckery, my eating fuckery. I think of discovery worksheets as a really good way for me to stop patterns, to highlight patterns, to be there for myself, to have understanding and insight. The only way that you're going to feel that way is if you change your definition of the discovery worksheet. But you've really got to figure out, like, what are my thoughts about it if you are resisting doing them? All right. So on the new simplified discovery worksheet, there are 6 simple questions. We have streamlined it because, one, I don't want you spending 5 hours doing discovery worksheets. I want you them to be quick, efficient, and insightful. Where and when did you eat? This is an important question because where and when you eat will start highlighting the pattern. So for a lot of you, it's like a lot of your overeating happens in the same places around the same time. Now, this is the reason why you want to know it, because if you know, oh, like for me, my overeating happens in my bed, eating dinner every night. That is the one meal I can stop it enough easily at any meal. Dinner, I tend to go past enough when I'm overeating. So I know that when I start seeing a spike in me doing discovery worksheets, that I need to start putting some environmental triggers in place at night to raise my awareness when I'm eating. No, like for me, what I understand when I'm overeating at night, it's because it's so easy to do it because I set myself up to eat in a very unconscious way. I mean, I'm laying in my bed, watching Netflix, eating dinner. I ain't paying attention. I'm just like, just eating. And then often I want to add something to the end. So after a few discovery worksheets, I noticed, here's what I got to do. One, I serve myself a little bit less at dinner now. That's one way to really slow myself down, is if I just decide, all right, serve yourself less so that if you're not paying attention, at least you're not just motoring through a meal, serving yourself the same size. Because this is the thing, if you know that you're eating past enough, serve yourself less at first, if that's the easiest way to do it, to gain some authority and control. The easiest way. That way, if you want more, you actually have to go get more. So for me, because we eat upstairs, we don't even have a dining room table. We don't even have a table. We have an island with some stools. I ain't eating at no island. So we eat in bed all the time. And I just started serving myself less. That was like the first thing. Then if I wanted more, I made a rule with Chris. You don't go get me food anymore. I noticed I had a pattern of a lot of my overeats. Chris was the chauffeur of them. He was the chuck wagon. And so I talked to him about it and I said, here, this will make things easier on me. Don't go get me food anymore. If I want it, my ass has to get out of bed, walk downstairs and go get it and come all the way back up. That's been enough for me to cut out bullshit eating. I'm too lazy. But it's not even that I'm too lazy. I want you to think about what actually happens. I have to think about getting up. So now my reasoning brain has to come on. Now my conscious brain has to think like, do we really want to go downstairs? And you know how brains are. They're lazy motherfuckers. They're always want to do the easiest thing. Well, if you put space between you and food and you put obstacles and barriers, every obstacle and barrier is like a speed bump. You can't just speed through anymore. You're having to go over things to get there. And every time you could set up one of those speed bumps, you make your brain have to make more conscious decisions. So for me, a lot of times it starts off with like, ooh, I'd love to get a skinny cow. I think I want a skinny cow. No, no need for no skinny cow. I ate plenty. I don't need it. I just want it. Then I'm like, all right, well, I can't ask Chris no more. So now I'm sitting there going, don't want to get up. Don't want to go downstairs. Sometimes I'm kind of like, yeah, I'll go get one. Then I have the entire walk down there where I think about it. Like, do you really want to do this? Do you really need this? I'm giving myself time. And I do this ahead of time. I've orchestrated to where it's just not as easy to fulfill my immediate whims and desires. Because I know Corinne, she is like you. She gonna have 30 immediate whims and desires every single day. I just try to set my life up so that immediate desires have to be worked for. And I learned that by doing discovery worksheets, like when and where is this typically happening? To me, I'm just like, y'all, low-hanging fruit. How hard can you make it to get your food? Not because you can't control yourself and stuff, but because we know ourselves. We know how our brains work. You're in no BS. We're studying how our brains work. We're not sitting around going like, don't have any willpower. I'm so weak. Oh, must be broken. No. We're not doing this shit no more. We are not wilted flowers. If you are a wilted flower, drink your water. Here's what we're doing. We're sitting around, we're identifying our patterns, and we're showing up like boss ass bitches. That is what we're doing. That is not a fear of food. That is not like some kind of weird diet mentality or anything. It's like, no, I know my patterns. You know what I'm going to do? Set my fucking self up for success. How many ways could I do that? That's why I used to bag chips. Now I don't have that, but we hardly ever even have chips in the house anymore. And then if my husband and boys want it, I'm like, good, go get some. I've just been away from them so long, I don't have to have them. But I'll tell you what, if we had chips in the house all the time, I guarantee you what would be happening. I would make me little bags of chips so that I'm not a hoover every time I'm around them. Why? Not because I can't control myself around chips. Because I don't want my automatic brain to develop a habit I don't want. I use my conscious brain. I use my goals. I use the future version of me that I want to be as my guiding principle of how I'm going to set my life up to make sure it operates the way I want. And that's taking authority over this. And that's what we're doing. So that's question number one. Question number two is, I notice I was thinking, this is just where you want to look back. What sexy talk were you using? I want this. Ooh, it'll taste so good. Whatever it is, don't look for Freudian reasons. Don't go deep diving into your soul and all this other stuff. What was that sentence?
Because most of the time, what y'all have to get good at, this is what I see. Like, yes, it's nice to get coaching on, like, if you every night you want this comes up for you at 8 o'clock, it's good to think about, well, why would I want it? Like, what is it that I truly want? That's a great question for I want this, is to ask yourself, all right, I don't really want the food. I think I want the food, but before I go get it, let's just be crystal clear on what it is I'm really wanting. This food is going to make me feel what? What is it going to do for me? Most of the time, it's going to comfort me. It's going to be my friend. It's going to help me relax. We want to know that, because what that means is that I don't really want the food. I want relaxation. I want comfort. I want these things. And my job is to stop giving it to myself with food and figure out on paper, how do I start creating this in my life? How do I get this stuff with my thoughts, with my understanding of myself, how I talk to myself, how I treat myself on a daily basis? It's important. So we want to notice things like that. We want to notice it tastes so good. It's like, all right, it does taste good. That's normal. That doesn't mean just because something tastes good that I need to eat more of it. That's the things that we want to do on the discovery worksheet. So I noticed I was thinking, this thought is normal because this is where we look. Like, why is it that I would have this thought? Like, it tastes so good is a good one, because it's like, what else would you think? This is some bullshit. Like, there's nothing wrong with that thought. We just want to know when we're having it. And instead of it tastes so good triggers us to keep eating, it tastes so good, it's just like, damn straight it does. And I'm lucky that I'm in no BS where I get to eat food that tastes good in order to lose my weight. Most of us are hoovering our food down when it tastes so good because we've been on so many restrictive diets that when something tasted good, we overate because we weren't supposed to be eating it to begin with. And so we have shame around this food. And when we start eating, we're like, oh my God, it tastes so good. And then our brains start panicking like, oh shit, here she goes again. She's eating something that tastes good. We better eat all of it because that bitch is going to be taking this away again. And she's going to beat ourselves. She's going to beat herself up for eating it to begin with. So let's extend the eating. Let's numb her out. That's why we do stuff like that. But if you don't have a discovery worksheet and you ain't writing, guess what? You don't get those insights. You know what you get? A full belly and a wad of shame because, like, I just can't get it. I don't know what's going on. This seems hard. I don't want to do a discovery worksheet because it's just going to highlight what a shithead I am. No. Next. The neutral version of the thought is, this is where we just strip that bad boy down to facts. Lucky for y'all, I'm going to have, when you take the new module 2 of No BS, every N has its own video that is going to teach you everything you need to know about each N to make it simple for you. And neutralize is one of the ones. So I will just save that as a little teaser so that you have some reason to go watch that video. My next best thought or action is the next question. Like, that can be in this moment, what is my next best thought or action? It can be the next time, like tomorrow night at dinner, if you're routinely overeating at dinner, my next best thought or action tomorrow night could be. And then the last question, which I think is super important that I added, is if I don't make this overeat I didn't put the word fucking in there, but a big fucking deal. What would I learn from this? So for all of you, this is where we're just going to set aside our shame for a moment, our embarrassment, our letdown, our disappointment. We're going to put it over here. The nice thing about shame and disappointment and stuff is it ain't going nowhere fast. You ain't got to worry about setting it aside. It's just like, just going to sit there and stare at you. Do your work, girl. I'll come back. I'm ready to wash over you at any moment you're ready. So you ain't going to lose none of it. So you might as well take a break from it and at least learn something. So if I wasn't making this a big fucking deal, what would I learn from this? That allows your brain to be like, okay, this is what Corinne would tell me. This is what my accountability partners would tell me. If I shared this with my best friend, this is what they would say. When I have my own best interest in mind, when I'm practicing how to love myself, how to be my best mentor and advisor, when I'm practicing how to be the person I count on most in the world, this is what I think. And this is important. If there's any question on here that I think it would be the king ding dong, it is this one. It's your opportunity to practice learning how to be your number one advocate, your number one problem solver, your number one mentor, your best coach, and your best friend. And all of you need that practice. There is not a woman listening to the sound of my voice that does not need the opportunity to practice that every day. So that's what the new discovery worksheet is all about. And then the last thing is, I just want you to remember, Coach Heather said something the other day about, what if the road to your weight loss is paved in your discovery worksheets? Because I want you to think about a road. They have to lay things down in front in order for the road to be built. Every worksheet is like laying a paver in front of you to build a beautiful sidewalk all the way to your goal weight, to whatever it is that you want for your weight loss. Each one is showing you the next step to take, the safe step to take. So I really want y'all to take them to heart and to do them. So a little call to action today. One of the things I want you to do is, because I want everybody in No BS, as many people as we can get, to come to Sunday's workshop as possible. I know some of y'all are committed to other things. That's not a problem. You have your replays. But for some of you, it would be a great way to just kick off the fall. We're getting ready for the fall. And there's no better way to do it than a workshop that we're going to talk about excuse busters. We're going to talk about our whys again. We're going to talk about our future selves again. You just can't get near enough teaching on it. So post in the Facebook group how you're getting ready for Sunday's workshop. I want to know a couple things. Where are you doing it? Are you doing it with your accountability partners or some of y'all getting together to do it? Are y'all all going to be watching at the same time and texting each other? Like, how do the accountability groups plan to do this? Number two, like, where? Are you setting up a special like woman's womb somewhere where you can like chill out and be undisturbed? Are you going? Sometimes people go to hotels to do these workshops. Sometimes people go into their office and shut the door and they burn candles and they have like a cooler full of food so they don't even have to leave the room if they don't want to. And then who are you sharing it with? Who are the people outside of No BS that you've invited? Let's make sure that we invite people to it. I never can remember the link. Lisa, if you could give me the public link where people can register and put it in the Q&A so I can see it. It's going to move too fast over in the chat. I will read that out loud to everyone. All right, let me go to the questions. I'm curious what made you a digital diva. I am trying to be open to new things. Honestly, I didn't know if I was going to like it at all. I'll be straight honest. I have been a paper girl forever. I love good paper, all the things. Here's what I didn't love. I had so many notebooks and journals. So I have my business planner, my NoBS maintenance planner. I have like courses that I take with, you know, things I printed for that. I have like all kinds of classes. I take notes. I do a lot of ideating, a lot of thinking, a lot of journaling and stuff. Well, I would just have so much shit. I never could easily find where I wrote something. And so I had an iPad and I just decided to get the GoodNotes app. And I was like, I am going to try this for a couple weeks. And I'm not going to like retreat and not do it. I'm going to give myself 2 straight weeks to see if I like doing things on my iPad. And within 2 weeks, I fell in love with it because I could like outline and sort things. And now I can easily find all my stuff and I don't have to have shit laying around everywhere. I was the queen of notebooks. I am not joking. I probably had 40 if I had one. And they all had like different things and I would always just be grabbing stuff. So that was what kind of switched me over to go to the digital side. I don't think there's anything wrong though with the paper version. I still every now and then will get some of a notebook out. Every now and then I just like writing on paper. And so I will just write in a notebook, but I never use it for anything that I'm going to want to go back and look at. So my digital side has really helped me just keep track of stuff. My thinking has become, I don't want to do it. This is homework that I have to do from, this is fucking awesome. I get to reach my goal weight. Not a journaler. It feels like work. It only feels like work because you're sitting there thinking, this is homework that I have to do. You're not thinking about what are the things that's not homeworky? What's easy about this? Or ask yourself, why does it feel like homework? You can even like dig deeper, Amy, into like, why does it feel like homework? What else am I saying? Like write about 10 sentences. What are all my little shady ass thoughts I have about planning or whatever it is that you're not wanting to do? Find them. And then you need to come up with at least 1 or 2 contrary thoughts. Benefits and stuff. A lot of times what happens is, so everybody, this is just how the brain works. It's called hedonic conditioning. When you get something new, you're super excited. So think about a car. If you've ever gotten a new car, a new house, moving to a new apartment or something along those lines, man, you about can't touch somebody for the first 3 months they owned something. It's like, whoop. Car. I'm going to watch it every week. This thing is not going to get stacked like the last one. Everybody better recognize the mommy mobile is not going to turn into the Cheerio mobile ever again. 3 months later, you're not sitting around excited by the new car smell anymore. Now you're letting the kids have snacks again. You're in your house. And it was like, oh yeah, I was cleaning like a mad woman every day because I enjoyed my new house. And now I'm just like, oh God, I don't even want to clean a toilet. It's called hedonic conditioning. It means your brain is supposed to normalize. Your brain's job is to not be overstimulated all the time. So when something is new, yeah, it's easy to get excited, but then eventually the newness wears off and your brain's job is to tamp it down. That's all that's happening. But we have to be mindful. We don't need to stay motivated and exciting and like, there is not a day I journal anymore where I'm not like, some. You know what I think? This is helpful. Like, I need to do this today, even if I don't feel like it. My day will be better if my brain is not a piece of shit starting the day. I will just be honest with all of you. I was talking about this the other day with someone. I was like, here's a pattern that I noticed. I'm a dreader. Just a fucking dreader. This morning, it was time to go to the gym. I dreaded every ounce of it on the way. I just told myself, like, look, it's on the calendar. I know you don't want to. We're just going to go. We're going to give it our best. I didn't need to be excited. I don't need to be motivated. I need to be willing. I need to be in action. I need to reap the benefits of things. But I mean, think about life. If we were all sitting around excited about everything, we'd probably all be on cocaine. It's not normal to keep that level of enthusiasm. So that's why our brain chills us out on things. Your job is just to notice when you have shitty thoughts, how can I make this easier on myself? I can quit telling myself it's homework and I can start telling myself, look, you're doing it anyway. You ain't got to love it. You ain't got to want to do it. You just got to like the result of it. It's all you got to do. I am in school and have lots of other homework too. I work full time and two kids, the same person, one with significant autism, have a supportive partner and friends. It's me that can't support myself. She may not want the backstory, but there it is. Amy, I get it. You got a lot going on, but it's not that you can't support yourself. You need to start telling yourself, I've got to change how I talk to myself. It's the only way you're going to feel supported. Because this is what's crazy. Very often, when we take a realistic look around ourselves, even though we're busy and stuff, we see where we have help. We see where we have people that love us. We see where we have, you know, benefits over other people and stuff. And yet, we will feel as if we're carrying the weight of the world on our shoulders. That comes from us and what goes on in our head all day long. So for you, it's look out for your little old shitties. Like if you notice a pattern of, here I am, like I'm not supporting me, then you need to ask yourself, what are the things I can start saying to myself that would be supportive? Because just like in this, like my journaling is homework. My planning is homework. You could just tell yourself, it's not homework. It's that one time of the day that I get to think only about me. I don't get much of that in my life. Why am I taking this part away too? Is the workshop on Saturday? It's actually on Sunday. Just so you know, the workshop is this Sunday. It's not on Saturday. I just want to make that really clear. Going to be beneficial to people who have been in the program for a few years, or is it more geared towards new people or people who have been disconnected for a while? It's helpful for anyone. If you have been here a few years and you still need to lose weight, yeah, I'd be there. We are going to talk about the basics, the doable hunger and enough as the first class. But I'm going to tell all of you, the workshop is so good that I included some of the workshop. Like I didn't, it's not exactly the same things in No BS, the rewrite of modules 1 and 2, but it's newer material. It's really good. I would be there. Because one of the nice things about doing it is it's going to like take you back to beginner's mindset journey. You're not going to learn beginner concepts. It takes you back to a beginner's mindset. Sometimes you need that reset. Even like for me, I am speaking at a conference in November, and this is a beginner's business conference. It's for people who are trying to, you know, like start and scale their business. They're like just, I call it like the baby businesses. And people are laughing because like I have a huge business. I mean, we're, you know, number 1,052 in the Inc. 5,000 of the fastest growing companies in America right now. And I'm going. And people are like, why are you staying the whole week? Like the other speakers, I don't know that they're staying the whole week. They're not going as students, but I'm going as a student. And I said, well, why wouldn't I want to learn this stuff? And they're like, you already know all of it. And I said, I want to hear it again from this level of success, because I will bet you there's going to be things that I'm forgetting that I need to do in my business that's beginner stuff that I don't even see anymore. And that is the same for all of you. Like, do not think taking, you know, No BS again or whatever is somehow less than, or like you're broken, or like I shouldn't have to because I've been here so long. I never have that mindset. And I will tell you, like, it's hard for me to say it out loud. I'm still working on owning that, like, I am someone who is successful. I mean, you can just tell it's just very emotional for me. But I know it is because I just never think that, like, I'm beyond something. I am always going back to basics. I am always, like, I'm willing to learn the high level. Like, I'm not afraid to go after the high level stuff. And I also am humble enough to be like, I want to relearn the basics. My mentor said something to me the other day, and it meant a lot to me. I don't talk a lot about my business success with y'all because I just want to keep everything weight loss related with you. But at the school I graduated from, which was my college, and let me just tell you, I've spent so much money at that school over the years. I probably could have went to an Ivy League school at this point. But that's where I've invested in Corinne. And that's where I've been invested in my mission. I always retake the classes that our brand new coaches go through. They're getting ready to re-release their course. I will be the first one who will go through every module and do every worksheet again. And I was telling her about, like, I go to the classes that all of the, like, I listen to every one of the calls that are for what they would call, like, the beginner coaches, or the coaches who are just starting out, or the ones who are just now building their business. I go to everything. And she said, it is no surprise to me. She was talking to her CEO, and she was like, it's no surprise to me as to who the number one earner is in LCS. She is always there learning. She is always asking questions. She is the one who studies the most, any of it. And I want to tell all of you the same. If you never learn anything from me, learn that it's possible for you. My success didn't come easy for me. I didn't get to go to college. I didn't have an amazing upbringing. I didn't have lots of things, you know, that a lot of people have. I didn't have a lot of the advantages that some people do have. And I'm not saying anything against anybody else. I'm just saying I had to figure all of it out and on my own. I didn't have a business degree. I'd never owned a business. I'd never lost my weight. Like, I just didn't have those things. And the reason why I'm successful is because I study, and because I'm never afraid to look at what's going wrong. And I'm willing to do my journaling. I'm willing to see all my thoughts. I'm willing to talk about things. I'm willing to experiment. I'm willing to try things. I'm just passionate about that part. And so I just tell all y'all that because I just get so concerned when I see so many of you sitting back and not wanting to participate because you're afraid of things. Please stop. It's like, I'm afraid to learn these things. I'm afraid to participate. I'm afraid to do these things. But I'm also sitting around every day afraid I'm not going to lose weight. This is a classic lose-lose situation that so many of us put ourselves into. And if you're in a lose-lose situation, you only have two options. One, create a path to win. You figure out, like, you know, if you're afraid to do discovery worksheets because it's somehow going to unveil something that you don't want to see, but you're also afraid you're never going to lose your weight because you don't know why you keep overeating, then create a third lane of, I may be afraid, but I'm also very willing to just see if it's not as bad as I think. So at least give yourself that option. The second thing that you can do is just recognize, I have created only losing situations for me. This is why I feel like weight loss is so hard. It's not because it is. It's because when I think about what I need to do, I'm only giving myself two loser situations. And if that's you, one of the other things I tell people all the time, I just taught a class on it yesterday, is do something really simple. Choose the harder one that has the best outcome. Even though you're afraid, even though you're scared, doing it anyway, knowing that at least when I do it the hard way, something good can come out of it. I set myself up with a chance of winning. When I sit back and I'm just afraid and afraid I'll never lose my weight, I give myself no chance to win. I just keep proving weight loss is hard for me. So I hope that that was helpful. I know I just kind of went everywhere today. Last two questions, or last question. One of them was just a comment. Will the workshop be covering diet trauma? I'm so close to my goal, yet having so many binges and overeats, so really trying to figure it out. Yes. The workshop, not only is the workshop going to talk about diet trauma, there's a lot of diet trauma teaching inside the workshop, but it's also, I have now started including a lot of that teaching inside of No BS modules 1 and 2. A lot of the lessons, like everything you'll hear Sunday is like the big kickoff to this fresh, more streamlined version of No BS for all of you. I think a lot of you are going to get a lot of relief, and a lot of you are going to realize that things seem simpler. Like, my goal literally has been, how can I make weight loss easier for all of you? I'm always trying to figure out, how do I make your journey easier? That's like my number one goal. One of the things I was talking to Yasmin about, who is our content creator, was we were just talking about, what do we want women, like, what is kind of like going to be our guiding principle this next year? We're getting ready to plan the 2023 calendar of content and everything that we're doing for all of you. And I said, relief. I want women to join No BS and to immediately feel relief that there is a way to lose weight without losing their sanity, relief that they are not broken, and relief from this burden they carry around that they're like never going to get their shit together. And that's going to be our theme for 2023, is relief. I think women need it more now than ever. So there you go, y'all. That's everything I got. I will see y'all on Sunday all day. Remember, if you can't be there live all day, do not worry. Come in and out if you need to. The replays probably will be ready with, I think we're trying to have them ready within 48 hours. So, all right. I love y'all. Bye.